100, the adrenaline that's shooting off in the electricity, he captures it right there on paper.
Ladies and gentlemen, Al Hirschfeld.
Well, I've drawn ever since I could hold a pencil. Actually, all kids draw. I just never stopped.
Do you want to introduce it?
I'm happy to introduce it. Welcome to the Hirschfeld Century Podcast. I'm David Leopold, the creative director of the Al Hirschfeld Foundation.
And I'm Catherine Eastman, the archives manager. Today, we are talking about...
Summer theaters.
That was a terrible drum roll.
Yes. You have other attributes.
Yes.
But summer theaters, we thought it was the right time of the year to do that.
Yeah.
Summer theaters, the Straw Hat Trail, the Citronella Circuit, extended from Vermont to Virginia, comprised about 200 theaters, and was very popular in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and parts of it are still going on today.
Right. Now, didn't it go up to Maine, though, too? Or is the highest point in Vermont?
No, probably Maine is the highest point. There was the Algonquin Playhouse.
Right,
and
right.
And Scott Hegan or something.
Okay.
Life with Father started there.
Oh, wow.
One of the longest running plays on Broadway history. When I say Vermont to Virginia, that's a general.
Well, that sounds, the alliteration makes it sound better. I'm sorry.
But so certainly thanks for puncturing the holes in that one.
Well, I just wanted to make sure people knew.
Maybe I should say Maine to Manassas or something.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. All right. So that's what we're talking about today.
And Hirschfeld, the summer theater played actually kind of a big role in Hirschfeld's life.
Definitely.
Both during his life and after even.
Mm.
I mean, it's really quite amazing. His first summer theater drawing was right when he came back from Bali in 1932.
Wow.
I mean, literally his first drawing was a drawing titled Leading Players This Week on Some of the Many Summer Stages.
It's very specific.
Yes, and it was just a collection of portraits. I don't think he actually went to those summer theaters.
Mm.
But he was probably anxious to do a drawing, may have been anxious to get a paycheck. Summer theaters were what was happening.
Now, tell us a little bit about the history of summer theaters. How did that kind of come about?
Well, it came about because there was no air conditioning in theaters in New York in the summertime. And a lot of shows, even if they were doing good business, closed up in the summertime because nobody wanted to go into a hot theater that wasn't air conditioned.
Right.
Performers wanted to get out of town because of no air conditioning. And where did they go? To the places that people go when they're hot. They go to the beach, they go to the mountains, they go to rustic areas to get away from the summer heat.
Mm.
And so not surprisingly, summer theaters sprouted up in these places. Some go back, I mean, even before the 20th century, but for the most part, what we're talking about here are the theaters that really sprung up a lot in the 30s. That was a very popular time for summer theaters because there weren't a lot of entertainment options in the summer.
Mm. Gotcha. So he does the Leading Players Many Stages. That's in 1932. The next summer, he does another one that is very similar among those featured this week and new plays on summer stages.
Right. He's still just drawing portraits of performers.
Okay. So he still hasn't really gone.
And it continues that way until 1935. You know, he does a drawing a summer, usually portraits of performers. And then in 1935, he does his first summer theater map. He makes it look like an old piece of cartography, but it is the Eastern Seaboard, and he puts dots all along it for all the different summer theaters that were there. And in fact, I think he even signs it.
Cartography, you know, by Hirschfeld.
Yeah, cartography by Hirschfeld.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful piece.
Yeah.
And it includes many of the things that he would include for the next. He would keep doing summer theater maps more or less for the next 20 years.
Wow.
And because that's the time, we're now talking, this is when the summer theater movement was at its height. Everybody in, you know, primarily in New York who was reading the paper was thinking, where were they going to be going this summer and what was going to be presented there.
Right. And these maps are very common. He returns to this idea of the summer theater maps.
Yeah, the next year he does a great one that is a map, but it's completely made up of a collage of train schedules.
Right, right.
Because that's how New Yorkers would get there.
Yeah.
But also in 1935, he visits his first summer theater and does his first drawing of a summer theater. It's, he only goes as far as Long Island, Locust Valley, the Red Barn Theater. And it's the first time we see a Hirschfeld drawing inside a summer theater. And this would become a recurring motif. He would spend really the next 10 summers on the road, going to theaters, often capturing the scenes, either on stage, but just as often what was going on backstage. You know, sometimes it would be a composite of different scenes of what was going on at the theater. Oftentimes he would put a little map in the center that would tell you how many miles it was from Times Square.
Oh, that's cute.
Because Times Square was the center of the world, right. Obviously.
Right, and definitely center of theater. At least exactly. In America.
Yeah, exactly. So in 36, he goes to six different theaters, including one, the County Theater in Suffern, New York, which was sort of Helen Hayes' home base. Mm. And in fact, he does this great drawing that shows a variety of different scenes in Suffern, at the County Theater in Suffern. And this drawing would, in 2008, be the drawing that gets the highest price ever of a Hirschfeld drawing at auction.
Wow.
$84,000.
Wow. Which is not something you would expect at all.
No.
But it's, I guess if the right people
right.
both want the drawing.
The right that's drawing what with the right people and right. more than one person wanting it,
right.
I think certainly helps. But it's a very atypical Hirschfeld drawing. It's not something you would look at right away and say, gosh, Hirschfeld really got it.
Yeah, right.
because it's got a lot of detail and it's got a lot of, it's not as completely dependent on line. Mm. But it's a wonderful piece and it's a wonderful, it captures the scene there.
Right.
The following summer, he goes to five theaters, and one of them is very significant.
This is 1939.
So on July 1st, 1939, he goes to the opening of the Bucks County Playhouse.
Oh.
He does a drawing of all the different celebrities who were out front because Bucks County was sort of the Hamptons of the 1930s. Mm. And a lot of Broadway performers and writers and artists lived out in Bucks County.
Right.
And he captures a number of them in front of the theater, including George Kaufman and his wife, Beatrice.
Mm.
Beatrice is so upset at her drawing that she insists that he be fired from the paper, from the New York Times. And she was a very significant person in her own right. I mean, Kaufman, remember, had been the drama editor of the New York Times, had already won a Pulitzer for his plays in 1935 for You Can't Take It With You, was a leading director on Broadway. But Beatrice Kaufman was a script reader, an editor, a writer in her own right. She commanded a lot of respect. So if Beatrice Kaufman wanted you fired, for a lot of people, they would have been fired. Fortunately for Hirschfeld, I think both his talent and the fact that his drawing of Beatrice Kaufman looks exactly like her, he didn't lose his job.
It helped him. That's good. It is not a very flattering portrait of her.
So he would return to Bucks County a number of times over the years. Even when the Bucks County Playhouse was not in Bucks County in 1942,
right.
Because of the war, they are down at the Bellevue Stratford Hotel, where they actually performed two or three seasons down there.
In Philadelphia.
And he does a drawing there, showing the actors in hotel suites as their dressing rooms.
Right.
Or practicing on the roof of the theater, showing how they decorated the ballroom with leaves and branches
yeah, to make kind of rustic things.
Yeah, because people, the idea of going, I mean, the Bucks County Playhouse literally had been a grist mill, and the fact is barns were very typically transformed into summer theaters. So, and this idea of being out in the country seeing the theater was so was so strong that when they wanted to create an atmosphere in the middle of Philadelphia, they brought the branches with them. And he did probably 5 or 6 drawings at the Playhouse, I think in part because not only was it a very well-known playhouse, it was really one of the sort of highlights of the Straw Hat Trail, but he had a lot of friends in the area.
Right.
S.J. Perlman lived nearby. Ruth and Gus Getz, the playwrights, probably most famous for The Heiress, lived nearby. Sam Rafelson, who wrote The Jazz Singer, Shop Around the Corner, plays and movies like that, and who was a good friend of Hirschfeld's, also lived in the area. So he had a lot of reasons to come out and visit. Right. And of course, if there was a show going on, Hirschfeld was like, that was a flame for Hirschfeld's moth, I guess. And he had to get there. And in fact, it even comes back, the original producer of the Playhouse was a guy by the name of Sijin Terrell, but he was such a difficult person that he only produces at the Playhouse for the very first season.
Right.
And then they get rid of him. And 10 years later, he opens up the Lambertville Music Circus right across the Delaware River, literally.
It's literally, right? You can see it from the Bucks yes. County Playhouse. You
and can see it was a big tent, and they performed in the round, and they did just musicals, because the Playhouse at that time was doing almost exclusively plays.
Right.
They didn't really start doing musicals until the 70s, really.
Wow.
Lambertville Music Circus was all musicals, and so Hirschfeld went out there and sort of captured that moment. So it was part of his summers. There was nothing going on Broadway.
So you might as well go somewhere else and find theater and find work.
Right. I mean, in addition, he was still doing movie work, but this was a man who loved to draw. So he was going to go where the subject matters were to draw. And then the following year, 1940, he has a much more significant experience. Also in Pennsylvania, he goes out near Hershey, Pennsylvania, to see the Eagles Mere Players. This is a summer theater troupe started by Ethel Barrymore Colt, Ethel Barrymore's daughter. They brought in big stars. One of them was a German actress by the name of Dolly Haas, who had been a big star in Germany in the teens and the 20s, had left Germany in 1933 because Jews were being prosecuted, it's really the start of the Nazi era, and she didn't want to be a part of it. She wasn't Jewish, but the idea that people were treating other fellow citizens that way, she didn't want to be a part of. Anyway, she comes to America. She goes to see, she gets a job at the Eagles Mears Players. And as she told me the story, she was on stage. She was in a show called Her Cardboard Lover. The show opens with her sitting on a bed with a Cocker Spaniel, and she said the Cocker Spaniel was great during rehearsals. On opening night, the curtain opens, the dog looks out and sees a theater full of people. He jumps off the bed, goes to the edge of the stage, looks out in the audience, jumps off the stage and walks regally up the center aisle.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That is such a spaniel move. I know all about that.
You would know that better than most. as she told me, Hirschfeld was in the audience and she said, Al said, I have to have that dog.
And he did have, they did have Cocker Spaniels eventually, didn't they?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the fact is, Hirschfeld didn't really want the dog. He wanted Dolly Haas. It was sort of love at first sight. He thought that she was great.
Mm.
Now, they would not meet for another 2 years.
Mm.
I'm sure they met that night, but they didn't actually go out on a date for another 2 years. The summer of 42, he's out in Hollywood, waiting to interview Charlie Chaplin, right. The subject of another episode altogether.
Right, I know. We have to get to that.
And he's actually at the home. Sam Rafelson has a home out in California, and so, of course, he goes there while he's out in California. He goes there for dinner, and he knows that Rafelson knows Dolly Haas because Rafelson had actually written Shop Around the Corner as a movie for Dolly Haas, and she couldn't plan it because at that time there was this funny rule. Her agent was Myron Selznick, David Selznick's brother.
Oh, brother.
Brother.
Wasn't his dad named Myron?
No, his father's name was Lewis.
Oh.
And Hirschfeld drew Lewis, David, and Myron in Selznick pictures in the 20s.
I knew the name Myron.
So he knew Myron Selznick, but Myron Selznick was both a producer and an agent on this film, and his client as an agent was Dolly Haas, and Hollywood rules said you couldn't do that.
Mm.
So he had to withdraw Dolly Haas, and they put in Margaret Sullivan, and it's really the making of her career. It's
right.
It's a great movie. Anyway, so Hirschfeld knew that Rafelson knew of Dolly Haas. So when he gets there for dinner, just in conversation, he says, "Do you know where Dolly Haas is at?" And Sam Rafelson says, "I don't, but you should ask that fellow over there." This fellow was leaving. That's her husband.
Ouch.
Yeah. Things you don't want to hear. Well, Hirschfeld asked him.
Right.
And much to his delight, it turns out that they were getting divorced.
Perfect.
This fellow was leaving, just was John Brahm, Dolly's husband, who, as a German, had a curfew. If you were German in 1942, you had to be home by a certain time, so he couldn't stay for dinner.
Mm.
But before he leaves, he tells Al that he and Dolly are getting divorced, and that she's in New York performing in the Chalk Garden with the Piscators downtown.
Mm.
So Hirschfeld, when he gets back to New York, goes and sees the show, goes backstage. I think he thought it was going to go well, because stuck in Dolly's dressing room mirror is his drawing of Charlie Chaplin from his interview that he had done for the New York Times Magazine.
Right, when he was just out in California.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
That's such a sweet meet cute.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
what
meet
they're
cute.
Called. Yeah.
Well, and of course the story continues, because within a year they decide to get married. They're in a taxi cab going to City Hall when Dolly says, "When did you get divorced?" Because Al had been married before. And Al couldn't remember, so they stopped the cab. He gets out. He calls his first wife, Flo Allen, who tells him that they had never gotten divorced.
Oh, no.
So they had to wait, obviously. So that comes out of Summer Theater.
Right.
I mean, that's a Summer Theater drawing. And that same year, in 1940, he does his first drawing of Gene Kelly, who is just a sort of up-and-coming performer. Aww. Who is starring and directing in 2 Weeks' Pay in White Plains.
Mm.
But Summer Theater is becoming such a big deal by that point that the Times Magazine runs an article called "Every Barn's a Stage," and Hirschfeld does drawings of the characters, the type of ingenues, the type of leading ladies, the character actors you would see. And it's a symbol, it's a sign that Summer Theaters, everybody knows about them.
Mm.
I mean, there are these types now.
Right.
So in 1941, he continues going. He does a great drawing in June of 1941 of all these stars waiting at a train station. And it's titled "Some of the People Who Will Be in Summer Theaters in that summer."
Right.
And
like so many of the Summer Theater drawings are titled.
Yes. These sort of generic things. Yes. This is what's happening this summer.
Right.
But this one's a little bit different because it's not a map. It's these different performers. Hirschfeld signs it with sort of a self-portrait signature.
Mm.
And in it, he captures actually a moment in performance history, because that summer, again at the Bucks County Playhouse,
mm-hmm.
George Kaufman and Moss Hart are going to actually perform in a play that they wrote about a show that was inspired by their homes in Bucks County,
right.
The Man Who Came to Dinner. And the other person who's going to be in it is Harpo Marx, who's playing in the role that is based on Harpo Marx. And he actually talks on stage, which was considered a big deal, although, as if you read Robert Bader's Four of the Three Musketeers, you'll realize that Harpo talked on stage a little bit more than we were led to believe.
Right, right.
Still
a rarity.
Still a rarity. But right. That summer, Harpo would not only be in Man Who Came to Dinner, Hirschfeld captures him in Marblehead, Massachusetts, where he's doing a play called The Yellow Jacket. Another speaking role with Alexander Wolcott.
Mm.
Hirschfeld is, he went to five summer theaters he did drawings of five summer theaters. He may have gone to more. And as I said, in 1942, their summer theaters are kind of put on hold. Not that they didn't perform, but it's a much more restricted thing. People didn't leave the city to go to summer theaters right. because the war was on.
Right, and so you had gas rations.
Yeah, oh yeah. Your gas rubber right. was in short supply.
Right.
So just even if you could get the gas, you may not want to use your tires to go there.
To get to the playhouse.
And the trains were still running out there, but people didn't do as much traveling around. I mean, it was wartime austerity and scarcity. And there really isn't another summer theater drawing until he doesn't do another summer theater map until 1946.
Mm.
And I don't think that's a chance. I think that's because of the war.
Right.
And he keeps doing summer theater maps for the next couple of years. He doesn't go to as many summer theaters. And my guess is that's because he has a family now.
Right. He doesn't want to leave him.
He doesn't want to leave him.
Yeah.
And I also think that more and more air conditioning is coming into Broadway theaters. Theaters don't go dark in the summertime. Mm. And it's really sort of this sea change that's happening. Summer theaters are still a big thing for the next 10 years, but more and more theaters happening in New York over the summer. And that allows him to stay in New York or go to Europe or, you know, whatever he wanted to do for as much as he wanted to do. I mean, 1947, there's no summer theater map because Hirschfeld's not in the country. He's traveling around the world with S.J. Perlman for Westward Ha.
Oh, right. That would be a good episode.
Oh, yeah. We're going to do a Westward Ha episode for sure. I mean, that's around the world.
Sorry, you go ahead.
Around the world in 80 cliches, as Perlman put it.
Yes.
So summer theater, by 1952, he's not doing a map. Well, he does a map, but his drawings, and he goes out to Jones Beach, but he does a drawing of all the Hollywood performers who were coming to play at summer theaters because, these big stars would come and do 1 week stock at different summer theaters. So in 1952, for instance, Angela Lansbury comes from Hollywood and she does a Broadway hit Affairs of State. And she does it at 8 different summer theaters all along the Straw Hat Trail.
Mm.
And she was not alone in this. A lot of performers did it. Sally Rand, there's a great drawing that Hirschfeld did in, I think, 41 or 42 of Sally Rand at the Woodstock Playhouse,
right.
Which had just opened 3 years earlier. She was performing in Somerset Maugham's Rain.
Right.
And she had been doing that for a number of years.
So these big names would kind of have quote-unquote, their shows that they knew were their favorite shows or their favorite roles, and that's what they would take around to the playhouses, the summer theaters.
And the theaters would supply the supporting cast.
Right, right.
And they would do a couple days of rehearsal and then go into the show. You know, summer stock was like, if 1 week stock was meant that actors were doing a show at night, and if they were in the next show, they were rehearsing a different show during the day.
Wow.
And this kept on going, and, you know, then they would go to 2 week stock.
Mm.
But it was a totally crazy way of doing it, and you had to be really interested in acting and performing because this was insanity.
Intensive.
Yes, very intensive. Very intensive. So the summer theater scene changes because, as I said, air conditioning comes into Broadway theaters. And then in 1961, Hirschfeld does his first drawing of Joe Papp presenting free theater in Central Park, Shakespeare.
Mm.
And that soon becomes his summer theater drawings. You know, he doesn't have to go far afield to see stars in summer productions. It's all happening in Central Park, just blocks away from his house. And so he goes on and does wonderful drawings of Hamlet with Alfred Ryder. And he does James Ray as Henry V. Eventually he'd be doing, you know, 25 years later, he's doing Tracy Ullman and Morgan Freeman in Taming of the Shrew, Patrick Stewart in The Tempest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all these really great, sort of classic Shakespeare in the Park productions. He was, you know, Shakespeare in the Park has been in the news this year. But it would be in the news many years. And what Joe Papp did for the city and really for Shakespeare is a remarkable, remarkable thing. Mm. And he was the kind of producer that Hirschfeld loved in the sense of he could make something happen. You know, he could really put on a show no matter if he had nothing or a lavish set. Yeah, right. it's that kind of thing that he loved to do. Hirschfeld's last trip on the road to see a summer theater actually happens in 1966 when he goes all the way to Michigan. There's a Greek theater festival, and Bert Lahr is in the Orestes, I think, or the Birds.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a wonderful drawing that's now in the collection of Harvard University. Mm. But it's the last time he goes on the road for summer theater. His last real sort of summer theater drawing is in 1980 when he does a drawing of different performers who were going to be in summer stock, like Richard Thomas in Whose Life Is It Anyway? And John Raitt in Carousel, which he had actually done on Broadway, of course. Van Johnson in Tribute, which Jack Lemmon had done.
Right.
It keeps on going on as long as 1980, but really by the mid 50s, I think his last map is in 1956. And that's really the sort of end of the very popular culture devoted to the Straw Hat Trail. Now, of course, there's great summer theaters that are still going on. Westport Playhouse,
right.
Of course, the Bucks County Playhouse, the Barter Theater. He did a drawing of the Barter Theater.
Oh, right. So tell us about the Barter Theater.
Love to tell you about the Barter Theater. My wife performed down there one time. The Barter Theater was started in the 1930s by this guy by the name of Bob Porter. And the premise of the Barter Theater was if you couldn't pay for a ticket, you could barter your something you grew or maybe an animal that you had.
Right. I think there are animals in the drawing.
Oh, yeah. People bringing their chickens and their lambs and whatnot. That's become the State Theater of Virginia.
Oh, interesting.
And so, I mean, Hirschfeld was capturing all of this. I mean, his drawings are a veritable archive of summer theaters. I mean, that's just one more piece of the popular culture puzzle that Hirschfeld so thoroughly documented. It's so unusual. And it was so short, relatively short-lived. It lasted about 25 years.
Right. Interesting.
Summers ended up being very important to Hirschfeld because even though the theater season was over, it's actually in 1965. There's nothing going on in New York. I mean, Joe Papp has started Shakespeare in the Park, and he's done a drawing, actually did a drawing that summer of Joe Papp in Central Park. But he's a guy who likes to draw, and he wants to draw things for the Times, even though he has other clients. He's got this, he's going to draw at least 26 pieces for the Times. Mm. And he finally convinces them to let him draw a movie. Because up until 1965, the New York Times would not let Hirschfeld draw film. They thought they were moving pictures and they should be illustrated by photographs.
Interesting.
So Hirschfeld did, that was the first film drawing that Hirschfeld did.
What was
the
film drawing?
Ship of Fools.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a great piece with Vivian Leigh and an all-star cast. But that's where summer theater, you know, or the lack of summer theater, we start getting Hirschfeld drawings of the of films in the New York Times. so he loved it, and of course some summers he would go away to Europe, you know, and travel around there. And in the 1996 he goes to Europe. And, of course, what does he do when he's over there? He sees theater.
Right.
And Hirschfeld was always a very smart guy when it came to money and his taxes and whatnot. He knew that if he did a drawing when he was over there, he could write off the trip.
Right. That's very smart.
So Hirschfeld comes back with a drawing called the London Sketchbook.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this composite of several different shows that he saw that summer. Mm-hmm. And he would do it again. What is that? An artist?
I think it's Stage Struck Artist Abroad.
Yeah, that's...
I think it's 2000.
Yeah, 2000.
Yep.
He and Louise go over there. I think that where they go over together in 96. They're great drawings.
Yeah.
Stage Struck Artist Abroad includes Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
one of Catherine's all-time favorites.
One of my all-time favorite movies and one of my new favorite shows. I am so disappointed it didn't come to Broadway. It was at the Paper Mill Playhouse.
Right.
Was the Paper Mill a summer theater?
Probably started as a summer theater for, I don't know the exact history of that, but but there were these playhouses.
Same idea, just outside the city. And
just outside the city.
Well, this was when Hunchback was in German. It was Die Glocke something. Something about the bells.
Something about the bells.
But yeah.
Hunchback, Hirschfeld never drew Hunchback in any form.
Right, except in this little drawing.
Yes, so that's one thing. Hirschfeld did not draw any hunchbacks. Oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me.
Wait. What about Richard III?
Yes, he drew Richard III.
Al Pacino.
Al Pacino, though that was not a Shakespeare in the Park production.
Right, no, it was just, well, Al Pacino did it on stage and then he made a movie, right?
Right. Yeah. Oh, years later.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But this was for the stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is sort of bringing down the curtain on summer theaters and Al Hirschfeld. You can see a lot of these drawings up online. Yes. We actually have a number of summer theater drawings also in the Al Hirschfeld Foundation shop.
Right.
.org. Mm-hmm. So if you go there, you can get artist proofs of limited edition prints that Hirschfeld did.
Right.
We do present some drawings there, some T-shirts.
And the drawings are really neat to look at because they're photographs of the actual drawings.
Yes.
So you can see, the stamps that the Times made on them. Or
the coffee stains.
Yeah, it's really cool. So you can really see what they look like, not in black and white, but as a real artifact, as a real piece of art.
Right. Artifact is exactly what they are. And we try to provide some additional information about the specific drawings. There's a wonderful drawing that he did for Collier's, another great Collier's drawing, of the intermission at the Petrified Forest.
Me summer and my theater. Collier's drawing.
Yes.
Catherine Collier's Eastman.
Not her name.
Just very sweet. Yeah.
So you should go check out there. You should always check out the foundation website, alhirschfeldfoundation.org. You can look up any drawing there by performer, by production, by publication, by genre, by date, by theater season, by year.
Yep.
Really, if you can't find it on there, it's because you're not looking.
And you can find the podcast at alhirschfeldfoundation.org/podcast. S for
summer
theater. Okay. I'll put all the drawings in the show notes, of course, as usual. Facebook, we're the Al Hirschfeld Foundation. Twitter and Instagram at Al Hirschfeld. We post every day.
If you can't wait for us to tell you more stories, you can buy the book, The Hirschfeld Century, A Portrait of an Artist and His Age, published by Knopf and written by me. You can either get that on Amazon or you can get it a signed copy at the Hirschfeld Foundation shop.
Yep.
Yeah.
We will inscribe it to you and send it right to your door.
Exactly. Happy to do that.
Yeah. All right. I think that's it.
Okay, so long for now.
Bye.